Matthew chapter number 6. That was a good song, Tracy, to kind of finish our missions emphasis week. What a great missions conference. I thought it was our best ever, and I really mean that. It was just great, powerful, and affected me and just revived my heart for missions. Certainly thank God for it, all the work that went into it. All right. Matthew chapter 6, we all need to pay attention to this message today. It'll help us. In Matthew 6 and verse 9, a very famous passage of Scripture, it says, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Now I want to talk about forgiveness this morning. The subject is the stewardship of forgiveness. Forgiveness has been given to us by God. And we need to be good stewards of that forgiveness and use it towards other people. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 24, I'm sorry, 32, it says, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." It is for the sake of Jesus Christ that God forgave us, because on the cross, Jesus cried out on our behalf, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Jesus asked the Father to forgive us, and it was for Christ's sake, for his request that he made, that God the Father forgives us. And we need to be good stewards of the forgiveness that God has given us. It's stewardship month, and I've tried to deal with some different issues this month, and I want to deal with this thing about forgiveness because it's such an important subject that'll either clear your path and the door for you to go forward in the will of God, or it'll build a big wall from you advancing any farther in your walk of faith. "Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Now keep your place in Matthew 6 and go to Matthew 18. Matthew 18, it says this in verse 34 and 35, "And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him." Now you have to go back to this parable and read the whole thing, which I don't have time to do this morning. But this was predicated upon a question Peter had about the subject of forgiveness and the stewardship of forgiveness that he asked in verse 21. "Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee, until seven times, but until 70 times seven." And then he goes through a parable and ends it with these words in verse 35, "So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses." So we see that we are supposed to forgive people no matter how many times they sin against us, and that this forgiveness is supposed to come from our hearts. Now that is a very, very difficult thing to do. And I want to give you three ways on how we can forgive others. I got 3 points today that if you can practice these, it will help you to have the ability to obey the commandment of God that he has given us here
in Matthew 6, Matthew 18, Ephesians 4, these places I've read this morning, as well as other places. Now, going back to our text, I want you to notice there's two directions that we are supposed to forgive other human beings. First, it says of their debts in verse 12, and then it says of their trespasses in verse 15. Now, what is the difference between a debt and a trespass? A debt is a sin of omission that somebody commits towards us. A trespass is a sin of commission that somebody commits towards us. The Bible says whether it's an omission or it's a commission, we are supposed to forgive them. For instance, many, many adults could have a better life, better quality of life, if they would forgive their fathers for what their fathers did not do for them growing up that they should have done. The Bible says fathers ought to love their children. That's a debt they owe. But sometimes fathers don't love their children. They're harsh with their children. They abandon their children. Maybe they divorce their mother, run off with another woman, act like they don't even exist, and so on and so forth. And that father commits a sin, a debt against their children. The children are expecting their father to do his duty in the sight of God, to love them, to care for them, to provide for them, to give them security, to give them safety, to give them love, to give them guidance. And then that father leaves them. Now that's a very, very difficult thing to forgive. And there are people in their 20s and 30s and 40s and 50s and 60s, they got all kinds of internal conflicts and they can't put their finger on it. They don't know why they are so angry. And a lot of it goes back to the failure of a father. That is a debt. The Lord says we're supposed to forgive people of their debts. When they owed us something and they did not give it to us, we are supposed to forgive them as we would want people to forgive us of our debts. Have you always loved people? That's your debt. The Bible says, owe no man anything but to love one another. Have you always shared the gospel with every person you met who's lost? I haven't. That's a debt I owe. The Apostle Paul says, I am a debtor both to the Jews and to the Greeks, so as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel, he said. What a horrible thing. Did you ever think of the debt you owe, not sharing the gospel with somebody, and then they go off into hell forever? Because you did not do for them what you were supposed to do for them? Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. There are people that only, there are men and women who've stood at this altar and they have vowed before God, they vowed before their mates, they vowed before the congregation, they vowed before their families to keep themselves to love and to honor and to cherish. And then they got married and that husband who gave that vow to love his wife does not love his wife. And that wife who gave her vow to love and to honor and to cherish her husband does not love and honor and cherish her husband. They, at their marriage vows, make a debt to each other. And sometimes they don't pay it. Sometimes they get divorced. And a wife is there puzzled saying, this man promised that he would love me, that he would cherish me, that he would honor me, that he would love me in sickness and in health and in poverty and in wealth and for better and for worse. And he made those vows before me in the presence of God. And this was a debt that I expected him to pay for the rest of his life. And he didn't keep that debt. What are you supposed to do? Forgive us our debts. We forgive our debtors. Forgive the husband who divorced you. Forgive the wife that divorced you. This is God's word, right? Pretty tough stuff. But I'm going to give you three things here in a minute that will make it a little easier. Well, we're not only supposed to forgive our brethren, the human race, their debts, we're also supposed to forgive their trespasses. A debt is when they don't do for us what they're supposed to do. You know, somebody borrows $1,000 from you and says, I'll pay it back, and they don't. What are you supposed to do? forgive them. It doesn't mean you have to give them the next time they want to borrow. You know? But we're also supposed to go beyond debts and trespasses. What's a trespass? That's when somebody commits something against us they shouldn't commit. There's people in this room who have been sexually abused. There's people in this room who've been verbally abused, emotionally abused, mentally abused. There's people in this room who've been wronged, been stolen from. People have committed a trespass against you. They committed something against you they weren't supposed to commit. People who've been raped, as I mentioned, stolen from. Harm physically, every way you can imagine. The Lord says here, if we forgive not men their trespasses, that is the things they've committed against us, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Things you've committed against other people you shouldn't have done. Did you ever hurt somebody? I have. I've done things to people in my past, there is absolutely no way I can change what I did. I would hope they would forgive me. As I've had to forgive some people that have done things to me that they shouldn't have done. See, if you live on this earth, people are going to sin against you in these two categories. You're not exempt from it. Someone's going to hurt you. Somebody that you're going to count on that you thought was going to come true for you is not going to. It might be a pastor. There's a lot of people who think pastors are debtors and that they should do this and this and this and this and this, and they've got this idea of what a pastor should be, and then when he doesn't do it for them, when he doesn't do for them what they think this pastor owes them, they get all kinds of bad feelings, anger, bitterness, resentment, quit the church, leave. Why? Pastor never cared about me. What are they supposed to do? Forgive the debt. Well, maybe he didn't do for me what he was supposed to do for me, but maybe he's busy. I don't know. Maybe he got occupied with ministry or doing something else, and he didn't see that I was missing, or he didn't see that I was sick, or he didn't see that my children were struggling or something like that. Maybe he doesn't have eyes in the back of his head. I don't know. Maybe some people have to get over their issues with clergy people. Recognize they're humans. Lester Roloff used to say the last person to ever be forgiven is the preacher. But the first one that has to forgive is the preacher. There's a lot of people got issues with preachers because they feel the preacher did not do what he was supposed to do. But what are we supposed to do when someone doesn't do for us our debts? Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. What if somebody harms us or harms one of our kids? Forgive us their trespasses. As we want those who we've trespassed against to forgive us. Well, that's easy to preach so far, isn't it? Because it's in the Bible. It's hard to live. It's hard to live. So I want to give you three things now of how these things will help you. And help me. I've had to practice this myself. How we can forgive others. How can you forgive others of their debts? How can you forgive that father that abandoned your family? How can you forgive that mother? How can you forgive that person who abused you? How can you forgive that person who did you the worst wrong in your life? How can? I want to give you three things today that'll help us obey the commandment. And help us to be good stewards of forgiveness. Number one, remember that God forgave you. Now don't take that lightly, that point. Remember that God forgave you. I asked a group one time, what did God forgive us of? And they said, our sins, some say our iniquities, our trespasses, and so on and so forth. All good answers. But what's the real answer? You killed his son. You killed Jesus Christ. I killed Jesus Christ. Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures. It wasn't Jews that killed him. It wasn't Roman guards that killed him. It wasn't the Pharisees and the religious opponents of his day that killed him. Ultimately, it was our sins. Christ tasted the death for every man. Hebrews 2 and verse 9. You killed Jesus Christ. I killed Jesus Christ. And you know what today? God treats me like I'm his best friend. Like I never did a thing wrong to him. Amen? God never brings that up. I killed his son. And he treats me today like I am his best friend. Not only that, he gives to me. He answers my prayers. He helps me. He comforts me. He strengthens me. He gives me his power. He lifts me up when I'm discouraged. He cares for me. I killed his son. I killed his son. And he acts like I'm the best friend he ever had. That ought to help us forgive, shouldn't it? Boy, if he can do that for us. Christ was crucified. Now, you know, I mean, it wasn't like he was put to death in some kind of a real, you know, sanitary hospital by lethal injection or something. You understand that? He was whipped. He was beaten. He was spit on. He bled from his head. He bled from his back. He bled from his hands and from his side. He bled from his feet. He was so beaten before he couldn't make it up. I don't know if he could make it up with his cross or not, but for some reason they compelled another guy to help him. He was crucified on the cross. When he died 9 hours later, the Pilate said, is he dead already? He was spit on, and in all that time, when Jesus hung on that cross, about noon that day, God the Father turned his back on his own son. And he said, I choose you over my son. I got a choice to make here. I either choose to save mankind or I can save my son. I choose you over my own boy. And Christ was compelled to cry out from the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Christ chose you over his son. Chose me. And then I come to God one day after sinning against his holiness, mocking him after cursing his son Jesus. I was a foul-mouthed little boy. I used to curse that one that was crucified for me. And not only did I curse him and curse the name of God, I took pleasure in doing it. I took pleasure in sinning against the very holiness of things that I knew were absolutely wrong in the sight of God. I not only did them, I only did them by choice. I did them with pleasure. And then one day God wrought repentance in my heart and faith. And I turned to God and I said, boy, I don't know if you could forgive me all this, but if you could, I sure would like you to forgive me and save me. God said, I'll not only forgive you, I'll act like you never did anything wrong in your life. Justified me by the blood of his own son, Jesus Christ. And he says, how about we be best friends the rest of our lives? That'll help us when we think of those that have committed sins of omission or commission against us. To remember, number one, that God forgave you for what we did. Number two, reflect on the examples of others. This will help us. There are other human beings that have walked this earth whose lives are recorded in the history of the Bible as well as in other places of history that have shown the grace of God in being able to forgive other people. I think of Stephen. I think of how he preached the Word of God in Acts chapter 7. He went through a big, long dissertation on what God had done for Israel. And then he turned to those that he was preaching to, and he said, "You always resist the Holy Ghost." And they got mad at him. And it says they took him out of the eastern gate there outside of Jerusalem and put him outside the gate. And it's still called Stephen's Gate. If you go over to Jerusalem today, it's still called Stephen's Gate. And they all took off their coats, and they threw them at the feet of a young man named Saul, who would later become Paul, and said, "Here, watch our coats." And after that, they picked up rocks, and they began to throw them at Stephen as hard as they could and kill him. They threw rock after rock after rock. Who knows where those rocks were hitting, but they were hitting his body, and he was able to continue to keep his conscience for a while. And he cried out in Acts chapter number 7, verse 60. He said, "Let Father forgive them. Lay not this sin to their charge." They were killing an innocent man. Yet Stephen somehow was able to reflect upon the example of Christ, who said almost the same words on the cross when he was dying. Paul, at the end of his life, in the very last chapter he wrote before his decease, before they cut his head off under the Roman tyranny, he said in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 16, he says, "You know what, my last call," he said, "no man stood with me. I pray the Lord will not lay this sin to their charge." Back in the war, World War II, there was a lady from Holland who was hiding Jews from the Nazis. She and her sister were caught by the Nazis hiding Jews, and they put her and her sister in a concentration camp in Ravensbrück. Her name was Corrie Ten Boom. Some of you maybe have heard her story. She died back in 1983. But after the war was over, she survived. She survived the concentration camp, and she was liberated by the Allies. And she came to know the Lord, and she had such a great testimony that she became a pretty well-known ladies' conference speaker, and she spoke to large meetings, giving her testimony, surviving the concentration camps. And this is one of her testimonies, and I want to read it in her own words. She said, "It was at a church in Munich where I was speaking in 1947 that I saw him. A balding, heavy-set man in a gray overcoat, a brown felt hat clutched between his hands. One moment I saw the overcoat and the brown hat, but in my mind the next I saw that blue uniform and a visored cap with its skull and crossbones. Memories of the concentration camp came back with a rush. The huge room with its harsh overhead lights, the pathetic pile of dresses and shoes in the center of the floor, the shame of walking naked past this man day after day. I could see my sister's frail body ahead of me, ribs sharp beneath the parchment of her skin. Betsy and I had been arrested for concealing Jews in our home during the Nazi occupation of Holland. This man had been a guard at Ravensbrück concentration camp where we were sent. Now he was in front of me, hand thrust out. A fine message, Fraulein. How good it is to know that, as you say, all our sins are at the bottom of the sea." It was the first time since my release that I had been face to face with one of my captors, and my blood seemed to freeze. "You mentioned Ravensbrück in your talk," he would say. "I was a guard there. But since that time, I have become a born-again Christian. I know that God has forgiven me for the cruel things that I did there to other people. But I would like to hear it from your lips as well. Fraulein, will you forgive me?" So I stood there. I could not. Betsy had died in that place. Could he erase her slow, terrible death simply for the asking? It could not have been many seconds that he stood there, his hand held out, but to me it seemed like hours, as I wrestled with the most difficult thing I had ever had to do. For I had to do it. I knew that. The message that God forgives has a prior condition, that we forgive those who have injured us. If you do not forgive men their trespasses, Jesus said, neither will your Father in heaven forgive yours.
Still, I stood there with the coldness clutching my heart.
But forgiveness is an act of the will. And the will can function regardless of the temperature of the heart.
Jesus, help me, I prayed silently. I can lift my hand. I can do that much. Lord, you supply the feeling. And so woodenly, mechanically, I thrust my hand into the one that was stretched out to me. And as I did, an incredible thing took place. A current started in my shoulder and raced down my arm, sprang into our joined hands. And when this healing warmth seemed to flood my whole being, bringing tears to my eyes, I forgive you, brother, I cried with all my heart. For a long moment, we grasped each other's hands, the former guard and the former prisoner. I had never known God's love so intensely as I did then. You see, number two, we need to reflect on the examples of others. We must understand that everybody is responsible for their actions. But especially before people are saved. Jesus said they're servants of sin. In Romans 7 and verse 5, it says, sin takes on motion, the motions of sin. And those motions run over people. Those motions hurt people. Those motions abuse people. And here was a man basically saying, I was so cruel, was so ungodly, didn't know what I was doing, but somehow God forgave me. Would you forgive me too? Would you forgive me too? And at that moment, she never thought she'd be tried like that, but God enabled her to forgive. There was a man in 1946, right after the war, Germany went to pot. The whole countryside was given over to crime because there was no government and the Nazis were put down. There was a guy named Czesław Kudlowski, and he roamed the countryside of Germany with a young gang that just sacked people's houses and lives. And one day they came upon the family of Wilhelm Hamelmann. Czesław and his gang began to fire on Wilhelm Hamelmann and his family, and the gang killed all nine of his family members except Wilhelm. He survived four bullet wounds. His wife and eight children were all killed. Godlewski, being a part of that gang, was put in prison for 20 years. For his crimes. But the state would not release him because he had nowhere to go after the 20 years. When Hamelmann learned of the situation, he asked the authorities to release Godlewski to his own custody. He wrote these words in his request, Christ died for my sins and forgave me. Should I not then forgive this man? As you reflect upon the grace God gave Mr. Hamelmann to forgive somebody who killed nine of his family members and then take that man into his home, and he trained him to be a Christian. I have the story here of a Korean pastor who was the communists came into Korea and they were going to kill him, but they realized that he worked with orphans. And for some reason, they had a little sympathy and said, we're not going to kill you, we're going to kill your son. And they killed his 19-year-old son in front of him. The man who shot his son, the tables turned, and the communists lost control of South Korea. And pretty soon, the tables turned on that man who fired and killed his son, and he was brought up for trial and sentenced. The man, the Christian who was running the orphanage said, you know something, I think it would be better if he came and lived with me than if he went to prison. I think I could help him. And he took the man who shot his own son into his own home, and that man got converted to Christ.
and later became a Christian pastor in South Korea. He spent the rest of his life leading people to the Lord. What if that father hadn't forgiven him? These are amazing stories, and there's so many others. As we reflect upon the examples of others, we can ask ourselves, has this person who's harmed me the most, can I not possibly forgive them? Maybe you can't get your life entangled with them again because maybe they haven't changed, but maybe if they could see forgiveness, it might bring about change. It might bring about them a hunger to know the Christ you know, the salvation you know. The world's just waiting, I think, for people to show some forgiveness. We must forgive people of their debts and trespasses. How? Number one, remember that God forgave you for killing his own son. Number two, reflect on the examples of others. And last of all this morning, reflect on what we lose by not forgiving. Reflect on what we lose by not forgiving. A, our fellowship with God. Is that person that we will not forgive worth sacrificing our fellowship with God over? Because the Lord said, if you don't forgive men their trespasses, if you don't forgive men their debts, neither will your Father forgive us of our debts and our trespasses. Is that person really worth it? Are you going to let that person continue to harm your life by keeping you out of fellowship with God? Have they not done enough hurt to you in the past? Are you going to let them hurt you yet now in the present, in your spiritual walk with the Lord? Are they worth it? These are questions we have. It's something I have to struggle with in my own soul. Over a person that hurt me repeatedly over and over and over and over and over while I was growing up, and I was defenseless as a child from that hurt. And I finally had to say, is this person really worth me sacrificing all the good things God has for me, the fellowship and the peace and the communion and the joy and the love and the service? All that I can accomplish so that I can somehow maintain some kind of a sick resentment and hatred and bitterness in my heart towards this person? Is it worth it? I finally decided it's not. And I'm going to let this thing go from my heart and release it to the Lord. You know, he once said to us, for those who really struggle with us, he once even said to us, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. Don't you worry about it. God's going to make you bring every hill low and every valley will be filled and every rough place will be made plain. There's going to be justice on this earth someday. Maybe you won't see justice in this life. God's going to take care of it. You just do your part. You get your heart right with God. You release that thing. And B, victory over Satan. Number three, reflect on what we're losing by not forgiving, A, our fellowship with God, and B, our victory over Satan. Turn in closing to 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. It's been a long time some of you have harbored ill feelings towards others, unforgiveness, resentment, bitterness, anger. Today is the day to let that go. And I've given you ways you can, powerful ways. But I want you to notice in closing, we are going to lose some things by not forgiving. And one is our fellowship with God. We're still saved. I mean, we're still going to have relationship. But fellowship's going to be cut off. Because the Lord's going to say, wait a minute, I forgave you for killing my son. Has this person done worse to you than that? Fellowship. And B, victory over Satan. Notice how these verses tie together, forgiveness and victory. Verses 10 and 11. 2 Corinthians 2, verses 10 and 11. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgive anything, to whom I forgave it for your sakes, forgave I it in the person of Christ. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us. For we are not ignorant of his devices. Notice that if we don't forgive, verse number 10, what will happen in verse 11? Lest Satan should get an advantage of us. For we are not ignorant of his devices. You know what it's saying one of his devices is here? One of Satan's devices is to get us to have an unforgiving spirit towards others. Yeah, he likes to talk to us, you know, this devil. He likes to mollify us and coddle us. Oh, that person hurt you so bad. You shouldn't have to put up with that. You shouldn't have to take that. You're justified being angry at them. You're justified being mad at them. You're justified being resentful and bitterness and those angry feelings. You're justified. They had no right to treat you that way. Pretty soon we're listening to the wrong voice. Listening to the wrong voice. And then you get some humans, if you talk to enough, who will agree with you. Man, that's a horrible thing they did to you. That's horrific. You shouldn't have to put up with that. Next thing you know, they're confirming this, and Satan gets the advantage of us. Don't be ignorant of his devices. Just tell him, get lost. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. And say, no, Satan, I've got to forgive this person. God forgave me. And brethren, you need to struggle through that thing as long as you have to release that thing from your life and give it to God. And I think these things I've given you today will help you do that. I know it's hard. Some of you have been through worse things than I've been through. And you might be able to honestly look me in the face and say, Art, you don't know what I've been through. And I don't. But you got to remember, number one, God forgave you for killing his son Jesus because of your sins. Number two, reflect on the example of others and say, how did Joseph forgive his brothers? How did he do that? How did Job, you know, it says when Job prayed for his friends, God turned his captivity. God turned the captivity of Job. It was Job the one who was enslaved. God set him free from that when he prayed for those that hurt him the most. How could Stephen forgive them? How could Paul say, Lord, don't charge them with this the way they treated me. Don't charge them, please. Don't put that on their account. Reflect on the other examples of others. Wilhelm Hamelman, Corrie Ten Boom, and then reflect on what you lose by not forgiving. Your fellowship with God, your victory over Satan. Let's bow for prayer. Our Father in heaven, help us. I don't know who's going through what. Lord, I heard some stories even this week about a man who just had perverted things done to him. And no little boy should ever have to go through that. But Lord, you have come to set at liberty them that are bruised. You came to heal the brokenhearted. And Lord Jesus, we can get so focused on the way we've been treated, we'll never focus on the way we treated you. Lord, it was our sins that incited that mob to scream, crucify him, crucify him. And yet the instant we say, Lord, would you forgive me, you do. And you never hold it against us. You never bring it up again. You become our best friend. And the rest of our existence, you act like we never did anything wrong to you. Lord, we're not as great as you, but you've given us your grace. Help us set people free today. Lord, help us now with this matter of stewardship of forgiveness. You've forgiven us. Help us to forgive others as opportunities come up in Jesus' name.